Take your Bibles this morning and let's turn to the New Testament book of John, John chapter number 20. Let me just say again from the pastor, a very grateful heart, all that went in to make our vacation Bible school as successful as it was. Everything from the food to the teaching to the games to the crafts to everything that went in, even the young men that were taking care of the trash. I mean, everything had to have its place and had to be done, and we thank you for it. You came together and helped tear everything down. We were able to give our Vacation Bible School decorations to another church. That would be a great blessing to them as well. So just what a wonderful week it was. I just particularly want to point out one of our bus routes, Miss Tiana's bus route. One day she had seven new visitors. And then I said, well, you know what? I'm praying he has seven more the next day. We kind of laughed, you know, but you know what? Seven came in the very next day. And I believe her bus route had a total of 15 first-time visitors on the bus route, amen. So we're excited about that, and we're trusting and praying that that will parlay into regular attendance on Sunday morning services here at Sharon Baptist Church. And we're thankful for her work and the work of all the other captains and drivers. And I don't know if you realize it or not, but after your hard day of work, here at Sharon Baptist Church, they have to get on the bus after Vacation Bible School closed for another hour or so to get the children home safely again. So while you're home resting in air conditioning, they're still out hitting it, amen. So we just appreciate all their work so very much. Well, let's look in our Bibles here in John chapter 20. We'll read verses 19 down through verse number 29 in just a minute. As believers, we are aware that Jesus Christ promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And those that have been saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ are indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible word is tabernacle. That means takes up residence inside of us. And the Bible teaches us, and we know from our own personal experience, that He is our constant companion and our constant guide. And even though we may not always be aware of the Lord's presence in our life, I submit to you this morning that He is always there. Even when we don't feel He's not there, guess what? He is still there, and He's always near us. The Bible promises that the Lord will be near to those that are struggling in this life and those that are dealing with the pain associated with the circumstances of our life. So you might think this morning that God is not near, but I submit to you, He is near. He's right there through the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. The writer in Psalms, in Psalm 34, in verse number 18, says this, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." Listen, we can take God's word to the bank. We can write it down. You can memorize it. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart. Maybe you're here this morning and your heart is broken of some situation or circumstances inside your life. Understand this, that God is here near you today. I believe there are several different passages in the Bible that's really undeniable that the Bible speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ being in the midst of people. And while He was in the midst of those people, He just was in the midst of people to be among people. He was in the midst of people meeting the needs that these people had. Understand that we're not in this journey alone. You may feel sometimes that you're in it all by yourself, but listen, you are not all by yourself. The Lord is there with you. And so we're never alone in this journey in life. In fact, we don't have to worry about facing this life with fear because we have God's divine presence and protection along with us as we travel. As I thought about the Lord being near and the Lord being in the midst of us, ever present all the time in our life, I decided to search for some passage in the Bible that specifically deal with this idea that Jesus was in the midst of them. And here we find in John chapter 20, beginning of verses 19 down through verse 29, we find one of those passages. And I want to read this text and then we'll preach this message that I've entitled, "In the Midst of Our Struggles, You'll Find Jesus." In the midst of our struggles, you'll find Jesus. So let's stand as to give respect to the reading of God's Word. Let's read in John 20, verses 19 down through verse number 29. The Bible said in John 20, beginning of verse number 19, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger in the prints of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, after the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow our heart and our knee before you this morning. God, I'm asking that you fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use this preacher this morning to be a help and a blessing to these people that have gathered here. Father, there's no doubt that some are struggling with fear and doubt in their own lives. And Father, circumstances have set them back in their walk with you, Father. And this morning, Father, you want to do a work in their heart. Father, I pray for those that are here like that today. Father, I pray for those who have never trusted Christ as their Savior, that this might be the morning they repent of their sin and put their faith in Jesus Christ. Oh God, that they might be saved and might have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life to be a help and a blessing to them in their journey of this life. So Father, we commit all things to you today, Father, and I ask and pray that you bless this service and this time of preaching and the invitation to come. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The opening verses of this passage take place on the evening of Jesus Christ's resurrection. The concluding verses take place about 8 days later, the Bible said. In both instances, the disciples were dealing with a very difficult situation, probably the most difficult situation that they'd ever had faced in all their life. Just think about it for a moment. The disciples had placed all their baskets, so to speak, and all their eggs in one basket, and that basket being the Lord Jesus Christ. But now their Savior, their leader, their friend, their mentor had died on the cross of Calvary. And although he did promise to raise again from the grave, I believe the disciples did not fully understand what Jesus Christ taught them about his death and his burial and his resurrection. And no doubt the disciples, both on that first day and on the eighth day, were dealing with doubt and dealing with uncertainty. And I believe at that exact moment it appeared that all their hopes and all their dreams had been buried with Jesus Christ, and they were unsure of the future that God had placed in front of them. Disciples were struggling with their current situation. And I believe this, oftentimes when we struggle with our current situation, our current circumstances, many a times we also struggle with the faith that our salvation was based upon. And I believe, no doubt, the disciples were struggling and with their situation, but also, no doubt, with their faith. I think that this is a passage that all of us can relate to. At some time or another, we've all been there. We all have done that. We all took the vacation and bought the colored t-shirts and sent the postcards back. And I believe on this day that Jesus Christ arose from the grave, or even the week following the resurrection, there was no doubt that they had struggled with situations in their life that challenged their faith, and no doubt challenged their faith even to this point of being faithless. I want us to look at the details of this meeting that Jesus Christ had here, particularly with Thomas, but also with the other disciples. And I want us to think on this thought: in the midst of our struggles, there is Jesus. Notice first of all this morning in verses 19 through verse number 23, notice the apprehension of the fearful, the apprehension of the fearful. You see, on the evening of the resurrection, we find the disciples again, they're gathered in that upper room, the door was closed, and the Bible tells us they were fearful of the Jewish people. At that exact moment, the disciples face an uncertain future. Listen, as I said before, they took all their eggs and placed in one basket, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he has dead, although he promised to rise again from the grave. It didn't seem like a very good future for the disciples. They knew how the Jews and Pilate had treated Jesus Christ, and no doubt they were fearful that the same thing was going to happen to them, and no doubt they were just waiting for that knock on that upper room door, and they would be taken and put on a cross just like Jesus the Christ was. In the midst of their fear, we find this, that Jesus showed up. Notice in verse number 19 how Jesus appeared to them. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. So think about this for just a moment. As the disciples hid in fear inside that upper room, Jesus came and stood in their very midst. Do you ever wonder how Jesus entered the room? I thought about that. The Bible doesn't say that he opened the door. Didn't say he climbed in a window. I thought about that. And one Bible scholar puts it this way. We can scarcely say more than that John wants us to see that the risen Christ was not limited to by closed doors. Amen. Apparently, our resurrection bodies are not subject to the same limitations that our physical body is. And so I'm thankful for that. We understand that Jesus just appeared right in the midst of him. The disciples and the followers, no doubt, were dealing with this doubt. They were doubting who Jesus Christ was. Was he really the Messiah? Was he really the Savior? What's going to happen to us? Some had heard and others had seen that Christ was risen. And some had gone to the tomb and others had not gone to the tomb. And so we have them having a difficulty, and they began to have doubt deep in their life. And they began to have difficulty believing that Jesus Christ was truly alive. Remember that the religious leaders of that day had put out a false story that said the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples didn't believe that because they know they hadn't stolen the body of Jesus. But you know what? When you're living in doubt, all kinds of things begin to happen inside your mind. All kinds of stories began to happen. And no doubt they were thinking, well, I know we didn't take him, but I wonder who did take him. Somebody stole the body of Jesus, began living in doubt. They had difficulty believing that Jesus Christ really was born again. You know, this, and Jesus appeared in the midst of them. If you think about it, this wasn't a dream. It wasn't an apparition. This wasn't a ghost. The Lord appeared in the midst of them. He was right there, and their hope was revived when Jesus Christ stood in their midst. Here's the truth for you and I. We're never far from the Lord. And even though we forget that he is near to us, we have the promise from God's word that he's there at every time, in every situation. Listen, there's no physical limitations for Jesus Christ being in your midst. There's no spiritual limitations for Jesus Christ being in your midst. I'm reminded of Acts 17 and verse 27 and verse 28 where the Bible says, they that should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from everyone. One of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Boy, I like the first part of that verse, verse 27. It said, he be not far from every one of us. Thank God that he is in the midst of us. The writer of Psalm 145 in verse 18 said this, the Lord is nigh or near unto them all that call upon them, to all that call upon him in truth. Again, we find at least three different references that the Lord is near, the Lord is nigh. I want you to understand this morning that in your circumstances of life, you need to seek the Lord in your time of need. The Bible says that he is there. He'll be there if you'll seek him. He's nearer than you think. maybe you can relate to this. How many of you have been working working around the house? Let me just illustrate it this way. My wife would be vacuuming the house, and you know, vacuums are kind of noisy. When we first got married, I'd just walk in and tap her on the shoulder, let her know that I just came home. Boy, she never realized I was that near. Boy, she'd be in for a big, she'd be afraid and frightened and turn around and say, "What are you doing trying to scare me?" I said, "Hey, I'm home." You know, at that point, I didn't really want to be home. She didn't really want me to be home either. But I understand this, that I was so near, and she didn't even know it. All she had to do was just turn around and look, and there I would have been. And my friends, sometimes the circumstances of our life are so difficult, they're so burdened, and our souls are burdened down, that all we have to do is look out, and Jesus will be right there in the midst of our need. Seek the Lord in your time of need. He'll come near to you, provide for you in your times of doubt and your times of fear. Here's our problem. Our problem is this, that we don't seek the Lord. We don't look for the Lord in the midst of our trials and circumstances and tribulation. We rather turn to the world. We rather turn to the flesh. We rather turn to our friends and our carnality of this world and try to find some peace. Let me help you this morning. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. He is there for you in your time of need. But then notice something else in verse 19. Not only did Jesus appear to them, which is great, he appeared, but then notice he comforted them. And Jesus stood in the midst and he saith unto them these words, "Peace be still," or "Peace be unto you." Can you imagine how the disciples must have felt when they saw their risen Savior hearing those words, "Peace be unto you"? If they ever needed the peace of God, it was right then. Their Savior, the Son of God, had just died on the cross of Calvary. It's the third day now. And boy, they're going through doubt, going through their mind. They were fearful. They were afraid. They were unsure of the future that God had for them. And in their moment of greatest need, Jesus comforted them with his abundant peace. Reminding of the words of our Savior in John 14 and verse 27. Again, he says, "Peace I leave you, peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Oh, my friend, we can take it to the bank. We can write that down, that he said, "My peace will be there." He said, it's not the same as peace that the world gives you. It's a different kind of peace. Thomas O'Kempis said this, all men desire peace, but a very few desire those things that make for peace. You see, you want to have peace. Number one, you have to know Christ in a real and personal way. Had to be a time in your life when you admitted that you have sinned. And it's not too hard for us to figure out that we all have sinned. Then we have to believe that Jesus Christ died in our stead on the cross of Calvary. Then we must confess our sinfulness to him and say something like this, "Oh God, I know that I have sinned. I know that I'm a sinner. Oh God, would you save me from my wretchedness and my sin? And by faith, I trust you to save me." And then after we have peace with God, we have the peace of God. And the peace of God comes as we begin to live a whole new life for him, trusting in his word, trusting in his precepts, believing that God is ever present with us through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm here to say I'm so glad this morning that I can say without a shadow of a doubt that I have the peace of the Lord. There has been times when I had uncertain future. There's been times in my life when special circumstances and situations in my life had taken me somewhere. But listen, understand, and even in those uncertain times, even when I began to doubt the presence of Jesus Christ, Jesus showed up and he brought me peace to my soul. The problem simply may be this. The problem may have still been there, and it was still there, but Jesus gave me the peace to deal with the problem. So when Jesus showed up to confront the disciples, hey, guess what? The Jews still hated the disciples. We find that the religious people today still hated the disciples. The people on the street still hated the disciples. But guess what? Jesus was there in the midst of them, and his peace overcame all that. If you allow his peace to overcome any situation, any circumstance in your life, you can enjoy this peace with God and peace of God. Well, I think sometimes our lives get in such a chaos, that doubt begins to creep in. And we need to look to Jesus to calm those storms of life. Well, notice in verses 20 and 21, we find that Jesus not only comforted them, but also he challenged them. And when he said so, he showed unto them his hands and side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. You see, if any of them really hadn't got the message yet, they got it right then. If anyone still had any doubt that remained, guess what? Jesus stepped forth and he showed him his side and he showed him his hands. It really was Jesus and he was alive just like he said he was going to be alive. And all that they had previously heard and all that they previously had believed was real to them. Whatever doubts they may have had at this point were replaced with the confidence and complete assurance that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. And I believe at that point they had great understanding of all that Jesus Christ had taught them while he was here on this earth. And now they were settled in their faith and are ready to move forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. I found this out, that there's nothing really any better for a fearful heart than a fresh encounter with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you have a fearful heart. I encourage you to have a fresh encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. I've never seen Jesus Christ with my physical eye, but he's revealed himself to me many times over and over and over again. The world is dark and sin is rampant, but we serve a risen Savior. He's alive today. He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave, and all that Satan could throw on him while he was here on this earth. There is no reason to live in fear and live in doubt. We are more than conquerors in Christ. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 8 in verse number 37. We are more than conquerors, get this now, through him that loved us. When times of doubt come, you need to consider the cross. You need to consider the empty tomb and remember his promise that he is going to come back again. We have no reason to walk around with our heads down and our jaws dropped down. We belong to Jesus Christ. Well, notice in verse 22, we find that Jesus did something else. He empowered them. Notice what it says. And when he had said this, he breathed unto them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, Jesus knew that he was about ready to ascend back to the Father. Not quite yet. He still had some work to do here on this earth, but he was going to ascend back to the Father. But he didn't want to leave them without some kind of hope or some kind of divine help. And they would soon have the power of God dwelling in them and through the Holy Spirit of God that would live and dwell inside of them. Listen, if you're here today and you're a child of God and you've been saved and marvelously born again into God's wonderful family, you have the Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of you. Think about it. You have the power of God dwelling within you. And get this, just not on every now and again, but continually. Tabernacle, taking up residence inside of you. We don't have the Lord in person, I understand that, but we have him in his power. And the more that we love him, the more that we seek him, the more that we serve him, the more power that we can enjoy to live a victorious Christian life for him. His power doesn't exist to the unfaithful. His power doesn't exist to the disobedient. But if we'll be faithful to God and we'll have the fullness of his power, the completeness of his power, I encourage you this morning to look to him in times of doubt and claim his promises. Well, not only do we see the apprehension of the fearful in verses 19 through 23, but then notice in verses 24 and 25, notice the skepticism of the doubtful. The skepticism of the doubtful. You see, fear can be very detrimental to believers. But I believe doubt can be just as damaging and hindering our faith in and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the burden of doubt that was in Thomas's life. Notice in verse 25, we find that doubt brings deception. You see, the other disciples said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he saith unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of his nails, and put my finger in the print of his nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. You see, doubt began to work deception inside Thomas's life. The others had told Thomas about seeing the Lord, but he wasn't believing without seeing the Lord Jesus himself. So much for living by faith and not by sight, amen. I wonder this, that Thomas was probably wondering if all that he heard was true. I mean, listen, all the disciples were there except for Thomas. They said they saw the Lord. I wonder what he really thought. He probably thought, oh, come on, you're just making this up. I don't know if Thomas was able to get down to the graveside or not. The Bible doesn't list his name, but he may or may not have been there. So it seemed to be at least on two different occasions, others have seen the risen Lord or heard the angel speak about him being arisen from the grave, but he has missed out. No doubt he began to think, I wonder, was Jesus Christ really the Messiah that was promised by the Old Testament prophets? Could he really believe all that Jesus Christ had said? In his doubt, Thomas had allowed Satan to deceive him. And one seed of doubt questioned the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the truth. We've all been there, haven't we? There's been times in our life when we have allowed doubt to creep into our life, and because doubt was there, Satan has got in, and there's times that we even doubted our very faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder, has Satan caused you to doubt the truth of God's Word? Oh, listen, if you're here today and you find yourself that you're doubting these truths of God's Word, I simply can say this, you need to get a fresh vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, may I remind you that He's right there. He's near to us. Draw nigh unto Him. See Him for how He is. Satan can deceive and cause us to doubt, but listen, he can be defeated, amen? And he is a defeated foe spiritually. When we're confronted by the enemy, all we need to do is just to be reminded of the truth of Jesus Christ, that He is alive. Well, doubt brings deception, but notice in verse 25 as well, doubt fosters a dissension. You see, Thomas made a demand to see the nail prints, and he wanted to thrust his hand into Jesus' side in order that he might believe. And he wasn't walking by faith, but he was walking by sight. And it appears to me that Thomas was just on the verge of basically abandoning the faith that he may have had. Listen, Satan continues to use that same tactic today. If it worked for Thomas, it's going to work for you and I as well. People demand physical proof that they might believe for God who He is and what He says He will do. The Bible teaches us to live the opposite way. It says to live by faith and not by sight. I can't explain creation. There's no way I can explain creation. I can give you some time of Christian scientist's view of creation, but I can't really explain it. I can't explain the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. I can't explain how a man can die but yet live again. I can't explain the heart of sin, how it's changed forever when we trust Christ as our personal Savior. There's a lot I can't explain, but believe me this, I believe it all by faith because it's in God's Word. If we're not careful, we'll allow doubt to produce a dissension, causing us to question even the deity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a little bit of advice for you that I want you to write it down. Think about it this way. Just praise God for what you know and trust Him for what you don't know. Amen. Just praise God for what you know or understand and trust Him for what you don't know or don't understand. Well, doubt brings deception. Doubt brings dissension. Notice verse 24. We find that doubt creates despair. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So it appears that when Jesus appears to the disciples after he arose from the grave, Thomas wasn't there and he missed the Lord's appearance. Others had seen, others had believed, but Thomas continued in doubt, and that doubt led him to despair. I'm not sure why he wasn't there, but you know, we might not never know till we get to heaven why he was not there. But that's not really what's important. I think if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in the same shoes as Thomas found himself. You think, you know what I believe as well? I think it would take a lot less doubt for you and I to have our hearts not where they need to be than they even did for Thomas that day. You know, too often when trouble comes, we depart from the faith. When trouble comes our way, when circumstances come that we don't like and we don't we don't understand why God allows things to happen into our life. We depart from our faith, and I don't understand that. It's been this pastor's understanding for many, many years that when a Christian runs into a trial or tribulation comes in their life, they run from God. They turn from God. They run from God. They blame God. Their faith is in question. But let me tell you this, that I've seen people when I was in the Air Force who had great tragedy coming into their life. You know what? They turned to God during that time. And you would think that if you claim the name of Christ and you love Jesus and He saved you, that you wouldn't turn from Him, you wouldn't question Him, that you would just trust Him, knowing that His ways are not our ways and His ways are higher than our ways. And we would trust that His hand has been working through it all. Well, if we ever need God, we need Him in times of our trouble. See, Thomas's doubt hindered him from being in the Lord's presence, and he missed what Jesus had for him that day. Let me help you. You'll never get back what you miss when you aren't in the Lord's presence. I said this, don't you miss one service here at Sharon Baptist Church. Don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss the a.m. service, the p.m. service. Don't miss the Wednesday service, because the service is... the service you miss is the one that God was going to do something great for you. I said, I bet if I heard this saying one time, I heard it 100 times. Boy, Pastor, I wish Sister So-and-so was here. I wish Brother So-and-so was here. That message was just for them. And I don't mean that in a negative way, that you're preaching on some kind of wild, wicked sin, because I don't think anybody would tell the pastor that. But they understood this, that if they would have been there, they could have got some help from the Word of God. And you'll never get back what you miss when you aren't in the Lord's presence. That's why it's so important to be faithful to every service of Sharon Baptist Church. Because doubt will rob you. Doubt will defeat you. But there is hope. Notice lastly in verses 27 and verse 28, and then we'll be done. Notice the provision for the faithful. So we find that sometimes that doubt will defeat you, but we have some provisions for us, for the faithful. I'm so glad that I serve a merciful God. In our passage, we find that Jesus comes back just basically to see Thomas. Boy, you know, if you think about that, he came back. Boy, he was doing a lot of things during that time. But he took time out, whatever Jesus was doing, to come back to minister just to one of his disciples, and that was Thomas. You know, this time, Thomas made a discovery that would change his life forever and ever. When we learn to look to Jesus rather than continue in doubt, guess what? We'll find great joy and forever joy in our life. Notice in verse 27, faith renews our fellowship. Faith renews our fellowship. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hands, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. See, the Lord came, and he called for Thomas, and he said, go ahead and see me. He said, go ahead and touch me. He said, put your fist into my side. And he allowed Thomas to have a special encounter with the risen Savior. Doubt is going to hinder our fellowship with the Lord. But when all doubt is removed, we'll draw close to the Lord once again. Our heart that's filled with doubt is going to be remain skeptical. It's going to remain afraid. But thank God that when doubt is taken away and doubt is removed, you can rest in the provisions of the Lord. Unwavering faith is the key to committed service with the Lord. You say, I'm having trouble serving the Lord, Pastor. Maybe your faith is wavering. Maybe you need to have this unwavering kind of faith. Our faith renews our fellowship with Christ. But then notice verse number 28. Faith restores our focus. The Bible says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, notice these words, my Lord and my God. Upon seeing Jesus Christ, Thomas identified him as his Lord and his God. That word Lord means master. So Thomas was simply saying this, you are the master. He said, I am the servant. He was declaring his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer did Thomas have any doubt, but he was confident of the Lord that he now served. I found this out, that you can't really focus on Jesus in faith and continue in doubt. Faith and doubt, they're not blood relatives, amen. They can't be together. It's either faith or it's doubt. And you can't focus on Jesus in faith and continue in doubt. We all have times of doubt. I've had times of doubt. You've had times of doubt. But if we can just be reminded of Jesus, your faith can be renewed. And that's what happened to Thomas. He said, oh, Master. He said, Master, my Lord, my God. He said, boy, there you are. He had his focus was restored. I wonder, have you looked to the Lord lately? Have you turned and earnestly looked to the Lord? Let me help you. He hasn't changed. He's still the same person he always was. And guess what? He hasn't left. He's still right there where he is. He's still all that we need and more than you and I would ever need in this life. So the question I have for you today is, how is your faith? Has doubt clouded your view of the Lord? If you're not careful, it's very easy to allow Satan to get you sidetracked in your feelings toward the Lord. I wonder, has life brought a trial of fear into your life that you just cannot overcome? Jesus said to Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And so he praised Thomas for seeing and believing, but yet he looks out and says, there's others who have not seen, but yet they believed as well. Trust in him today, whatever need you face in your life. Here is the midst of those who are struggling. He is there, right there beside you. In the midst of our struggles, Jesus first appeared, and then he comforted. Then he challenged the disciples, then he empowered them. Don't doubt, only have faith. Only have a faith that restores our focus and renews your fellowship with him. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, look to Jesus in repentance and faith for your salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and turn to you this morning. We thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture. Oh God, what a great passage of Scripture, Father, we can glean and grow by. Oh, Father, we saw that in the midst of the disciples' struggles, particularly one of your own, Thomas, Father, in the midst of struggles that you showed up there, Father. And, Father, you loved Thomas so much that you even came back another time just to speak to him. Oh, Father, as you have done to Thomas, Father, perhaps there's some here that need to see you again. Oh, Father, need to restore their focus and need to have a faith that renews their fellowship with you. God, would you do a great work in their heart today, Father? Oh, God, give them the strength and to come and speak to you, Father, and do business with you. And, Father, if there's someone here who's not saved, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart about their need to receive Christ as their Savior. Help them to understand, Father, they'll never find peace in this world. That peace only comes because we have peace with God. And once we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So, Father, work and minister. Be a blessing to your people. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around this morning. This altar area is open for you this morning. If you